We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
From Learfield IMG College, this is Aggies All the Way, the official podcast of Utah State Athletics. Aggies All the Way is presented by Guild Mortgage. Guild Mortgage Company and the Karen Nielsen team is experienced and knowledgeable with all types of loan products and can tailor the perfect loan for you. Karen and the team would love to meet you and help you own what matters. NMLS number 3274, Equal Housing Lender.
All right, welcome in once again to the Aggies All the Way podcast. I'm Jaden Johnson. Hope everyone's doing well. Of course, there aren't live college sports going on right now, but that doesn't mean that there aren't tons of stories to tell and current and former Utah State athletes that we can talk to. And so today I'm chatting with one of the most decorated and accomplished Utah State Aggies to ever make their way through Logan, and that's James Parker. James was a 9-time All-American thrower on the Utah State track and field team back in the late 90s and early 2000s. And then he went on to have a great professional career, which included a trip to the 2004 Olympics in Athens. He was a 7-time Big West Conference champion, and he was inducted into the Utah State Athletics Hall of Fame in 2012. And to this day, he holds the all-time Utah State program records for the weight throw, discus, and hammer throw. So, James, that's quite the resume that I just read off. I know that that's just scratching the surface. What did I miss?
Oh, that sounds pretty good to me. Yeah. It sounds, I tried to make my time there worth it. So
I'd say you did that. I appreciate you coming on the podcast. I love talking to people like yourself because, I know that there's a lot of older Aggie fans that know you and remember you from your time here, and they want to know what you've been up to. But then there's also a whole generation of younger Aggie fans that really have no idea about the incredible career that you had. So I think it's kind of a cool story to share. And hey, if nothing else, you can show this podcast your kids and help them understand how cool dad is, right?
Well, I need any help I can get with my kids, but no, I've always been very impressed at the fan base at Utah State. And, I'll show up to football games and basketball games, obviously after I've been there and in recent years, and somebody will tap me on the shoulder and say, "Hey, are you James Parker?" And I'm always surprised because, I just always saw myself as this, kind of podunk. I was a hammer thrower, and most of the time I had to explain what a hammer was to people because they had no idea. But I always pictured myself, you know, I'm a track and field guy. I'm a field guy in track and field, which is kind of like even a lower level, you know.
Right.
So I was always impressed that, you know, some of these fans at Utah State would still recognize those type of things and athletes and people who contributed in the past. And anyway, that's one of the special things about, you know, Utah State, Cache Valley, and, you know, the student base there and stuff. People remember, and everybody has a sort of, you know, special place in their heart for their time frame at Utah State. You know, I'm sure everybody that went to college there, they had that own, you know, they had their own special, you know, memories and such. But I don't know, something about Cache Valley, Utah State that I think is just, you know, special. So.
Hey, it's hard to forget about a 9-time All-American. I was going to call you the most decorated Aggie in Utah State history, but then, of course, Dylan Maggard had to come along these last few years and tie your record there.
I saw that. Impressive. Yes, that was pretty cool. Like, he's going to have a great career post-collegiately, too. So that's awesome.
Yeah, we've had him on the podcast as well. He's a great one to talk to. So let's just kind of start back at the beginning. I mean, throwing is not something that, you know, most kids grow up. I want to be a thrower when I grow older. How did you get into that? I mean, was it something that you just kind of stumbled across and went, hey, I'm pretty good at this? Or did you start in other sports? What was your story there?
Yeah. I grew up playing all the American sports as a youth. And then when I got into junior high, I was kind of a bigger kid. So the coach was like, hey, you know, pick up this discus and throw it. And I had no idea what I was doing, but I did it better than everybody else. So he had me keep doing it. And actually in junior high, I was actually a really good sprinter. I was a 100-meter guy. And actually I was a really good hurdler, which was kind of funny. And I did that. And then in college, the hurdles got a little higher. And of course, my short legs couldn't take it. So I still continued to run the 100-meter dash. And up until, you know, my junior year.
You ran in college?
No, I didn't run in college. I'm talking in high school.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, that's amazing.
Yeah. No. No, okay. I threw. I continued to throw it, and what happened was I ended up meeting up with Craig Carter, who was, you know, he had a good career at Utah State, and I had heard about him because he had a bunch of records when I was young, and my dad introduced me to him and asked if he would coach me, and of course he rolled his eyes, but he said, "Yeah, show up," and this was back in the day when. You know, NCAA rules weren't as stringent, right? So mm-hmm. Craig was a volunteer coaching Utah State, and he said, "Well, you know," I lived in Davis County, and he said, "Well, okay, well, if you're serious, come up. We're going to train here. You just come up, and you can train with our athletes." Okay, sounds great. And so for 3 days a week for the rest of that year, and then for the rest of that year, I drove up to Utah State, so about an hour drive there and back. And I trained with him, and I think he thought, well, that was pretty cool. I showed a little bit of heart in that, you know, way, and I started to have results because I had a coach that was kind of helping me, and so I started doing good in high school, and of course, you know, had a good high school career, and then good enough to be considered for colleges. But I played football, and I tell this story here. My Aggie career. I wanted to play football in college, and I wanted to play Utah State. And if you recall, in 1994, Utah State was doing really well in football. You know, he had Jim Zorn, and Charlie Weatherby.
Went to a bowl game in 93.
Maybe it was 93.
Right around there, 93,
yeah. 95. Yeah, yeah. So so I was like all in, and I wanted to play ball there. I had a really good football career my senior year in high school. I was an all-state linebacker. In Utah, I went to Northridge High School. You know, I was fast, but that I think that raised some eyebrows with the coaching staff. So Charlie Weatherby and Jim Zorn came to my house on a visit, and when they walked in, they said, "Oh, they saw me. We thought you were taller. Well, you can come walk on." And I tell you what, that was like a shot to my heart. And, you know, of course, you have college coaches coming to visit, you're expecting to say, hey, you know, you're going to get a scholarship, come up and train with us, let's do this. And so anyway, it was the biggest letdown. At the time, Coach Greg Gensel had offered me a scholarship already, a full scholarship to come throw for him. And so I knew I had that. And so I went with track and field, but that experience carried through with me, you know, the rest of my career, because, I basically was called small. And if you saw me, I'm not the biggest guy. You know, I'm not like you look at me and say, oh, that's a professional athlete or anything like that. You know, I'm under 6 foot, you know, in high school, I was like 220. When I was training at Utah State, I was like in the 240s. You know, I don't look like super athletic, but I always kind of prided myself at that point in time in taking down the big guys. Cause I mean, in college and then in my post-collegiate career, I beat the big guys every time, and I had to do it with smarts, basically. You know, I had to be associate myself with great coaches, with other great athletes that kind of lifted me up. And but yeah, it all started with Jim Zorn and Charlie Weatherby.
So was there ever the thought of, you know, maybe I could make both of these things happen? Maybe I could throw and also play football? Or was that out of the question from the get-go?
Well, I really liked throwing, and I liked the individuality of it. You know, what you do and the effort you put in, you see that on the tail end of competition, whereas, you know, mm-hmm. team sports, maybe that's not the case, you know. When I got it back up to Utah State, they weren't doing so good in football, you know. And right. so the and that's not to give them, you know, I don't want to make anybody mad.
We all know. There were some rough years.
Yeah, yeah. So that motivation really wasn't there at that point in time. So
no. Okay. Well, the way you put it is, you know, I had a decent high school career, figured I'd be okay in college. But your first year in college, you are an All-American in three different events. You won the conference title in three different events. You're an All-American in two, and you're the Big West's male athlete of the year. I mean, that's something. Did your success right from the get-go catch you by surprise?
Yeah. I don't remember. Yeah. I didn't know what was going on. I just was like competing, you know, and just, I didn't really feel like, I don't know. Yeah. I was all surprised at that, and I thought it was great, but I don't think it really sunk in, that I had done that well. And, anyway, I kind of felt like I was a big fish in a little pond in a way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I got into national competition, it got obviously much harder, but yeah, it was a great first year. I mean, looking back on it, it was a great first year. Yeah.
I mean, you can't do much better than you did as a freshman, but then, you left, went out on an LDS mission, came home, and the success really just continued. I mean, you were an All-American all 4 years in weight throw and hammer throw. And then your senior year, you got All-American honors in the discus as well. You're a runner-up in nationals in the hammer throw. Was there a specific thing, and you know, an award or an accomplishment that you look back on that you're the most proud of?
Yeah. Actually, that's funny you asked that. Again, I'm a small guy. And my senior year, I earned All-American honors in the discus throw.
Right.
That's actually probably one of my proudest collegiate accomplishments. And I think I was like, I don't know, eighth or ninth at NCAAs, but there were a couple foreigners in front of me, you know, so that All-American honors kind of bled down the list. I still am so proud of it to this day. And I kind of wish I could have been a little taller and longer and had been a discus thrower. Always loved that event, but my body type fit the hammer much better. And I just was, you know, better at it. But yeah, I'd say for sure it's that, you know, a close second would be, that Utah State, the team Utah State at the 2001 NCAA Nationals in Eugene, Oregon, we took like, oh, I can't remember the place. I believe it was like, I don't know, it was the top 20. I know that. And that consisted of
my your senior year, correct?
Yeah, my senior year. Yeah, that's when I made All American in the discus, and then I was runner up in the hammer, and then Dave Hoffman, who was a high jumper at the time, was runner up in the high jump, and so that combined points between the two athletes got Utah State in the top 20 in the nation, which was pretty cool. So that was probably a secondary, fond memory I have of that. So
people might not understand how big of a deal that is, but that's especially for, you know, a small school that at that time was a Big West school. That's enormous.
Yeah.
So, I mean, really since your time at Utah State, USU's had a pretty strong run of throwers coming through, you know, a few different All-American throwers. Obviously, most recently, Sindre Goodmanson, who's a javelin thrower that made several trips to nationals. I have to imagine that's, oh my gosh, just unbelievable to watch. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was looking forward to watching him this year before the spring season got thrown out the window. But I have to imagine that's kind of something that you take a little bit of pride in to see your old school doing that well in those events specifically. Have you been able to stay very well connected with the program?
Yeah, I've had, every once in a while I still get an itch, and I don't know if it's just like I want to relive old days, but every spring I kind of think I'm going to throw again, even as an old man. And so it's been a couple years, but I go up to the meet in April,
the Faldmo Invitational.
The Faldmo Invitational. Mm-hmm. And I've thrown up there. And so Matt Ingebrigtsen, you know, he's always like, hey, come on up and throw and stuff. And so, yeah, I try to keep in touch as much as I can. And so proud of the legacy at Utah State. You know, Greg Gensel did an awesome job developing that program. I don't know how he did it. And then Matt Ingebrigtsen has come right on his heels and just continue to produce national qualifiers and, elite guys like, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. Sindre, is that how you say it?
Sindre, yeah.
Sindre, sorry. And it's impressive. They're doing so great.
Well, and I understand your niece just joined the team last year as a freshman, Kara Lee Taylor. She's a distance runner on the team.
Yes,
was that, she did. Did you kind of talk to her when she was trying to choose a school and talk up Utah State, or was that kind of her choice all along?
Well, so within the family, there's a bit of a fight. Her parents are BYU grads.
And, okay.
And so she has always thought her whole life she wanted to go to BYU. And of course, we always rolled our eyes. So when it came down to it, she didn't get into BYU for some reason and couldn't run there. And that program, the cross country and distance program, is very elite.
Yes, they're a very good cross country team.
Yeah. And when she came to Utah State, I was like, we were just all, my wife and I were like, yeah, you know, let's do this, you know. So she's done really good. And we're just so proud of her for going there and doing, she's working really hard and doing good things. So she's doing awesome.
Now, I know obviously distance is a whole different animal than throwing, but do you ever, do you ever talk about the good old days with her and talk about your time at Utah State?
I try to, but I don't, you know, it's just talking to a different generation, and I don't know if she really cares or thinks about it, but yeah, she's never really asked me too many questions. She has said she's been into the, there's that Hall of Fame wall that's inside that north side of the football stadium, and oh, I saw your picture there, uncle. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's cool. You know, and that's about it. So, yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. So kind of walk me through after you graduated from Utah State, you went on, you had a pretty solid pro career. I mean, you made a trip out to Athens for the Olympics. Tell me what that was like for you.
Oh, absolutely. It was a dream come true. You know, I sat down. See, this was, in 2000, I went to the Olympic trials and, I'd had a good year that year collegiately, but nationally just didn't didn't come around like I hoped. Mm-hmm. And I think at Olympic trials, I was like seventh or eighth. And, I was talking to one of my coaches. I believe it was, I can't remember who it was exactly, but we were driving down through Dry Lake in Sardine Canyon on the way back to Utah State after a meet. And I said, "Coach, I want to go to the Olympics," you know, and how many athletes say that, right? So, I don't even know what he thought about it. Later that summer, I was up in Cache Valley and I was visiting with Rich Gordon. And I don't know if you remember, he was a sports psychologist. Doc Gordon, yeah. And he was asking me, he was kind of working with me, and he's like, "Well, James, what do you want to accomplish? What are we doing here? You know, what's your goals? What do you feel?" And all this stuff. He's kind of working on my mental side. And I said, "Well, I want to go to the Olympics." I don't even know what he thought about that, but it was really cool because after I made the team in 2004, Doc Gordon was on the medical squad for the 2004 Olympics.
Oh, and, that is cool.
And one of the pre-camps was in San Diego at the Olympic Training Center there in Chula Vista. And I walk out to the field and Doc Gordon's sitting there in the bleachers, and I look at him, he looks at me, and he says, "Well, you did it, son." And it was just a cool experience. That was a fond memory. After school, I went into the military. This is 2001. So, I mean, 9/11 happened, right?
Right, right.
I just been married in 2000. Didn't know what I was going to do. I had an exercise science degree. And my dad, who's retired military, said, "Why don't you go in the military? They have an athlete program in the military, and maybe that can help you continue your career in athletics." I was like, "Okay. So if you have a degree in the Air Force, you can apply to officer training school." And so I applied to officer training school, and I got in. And, then 9/11 happened, and then everybody and their dog was going there. So anyway, long story short, I go to training, do that thing, get to my first station, and work on the process of getting into what's called the world-class athlete program, which is a program within the Air Force where they actually allow the athletes to train as their job for 2 years prior to the Olympics. And the whole idea of that is it gets, it's a recruiting thing, right? It gets the Air Force out there in front of people. And so that was my program. And, if I wouldn't have had that, it would have been so hard to get to where I got to. So I'm really grateful for the U.S. government, U.S. Air Force for, having those resources and doing that. So, I got into that program. As part of that program, they ask you to, just go to wherever you need to go to train so that you can do the best you can. And so I chose Eugene, Oregon. Eugene, Oregon at the time had one of the best coaches in the world in the hammer throw. His name was Stuart mm-hmm. Toger.
Don't they call it Tracktown USA?
Tracktown USA, yeah. Yeah. I mean, this was in some of the great years of track and field at University of Oregon and that conference. So but so I went there and started training, and I was a little man on the totem pole for, about a year, and then I started passing those guys up and that training group, and then some people that came into that training group at that time, namely a gentleman by the name of Koji Murafushi. He's a Japanese hammer thrower. He's like a god back in Japan. Like, he can't walk around the street without people mauling him type of stuff. Yeah. Comes to the United States and nobody knows who he is. But in Japan, he's...
It's like you at a Utah State football game.
Yeah. I wish. But anyway, he was in the hammer throwing world. He was a big name, and he heard about Stuart, my coach, and he came and he started training with us. And having, you know how it is. You have people that help you get better and raise you up, and there's people that drag you down. Well, he was definitely one of those guys who was a very positive influence. And to have him kick my tail every day in training just made me better. And that was a great relationship. I ended up to this day, we were just really good friends. He actually is the sports director of the, what was supposed to be the 20, 20 Olympics in Tokyo. But that's going to happen next year, as right. you guys probably know. So, but yeah, so anyway, went through that and just, you know, year after year got better and better. And then, you know, made the team in 04. And again, that was a dream come true. Like, I walked out in Athens on that stadium to compete. And I mean, I just started tearing up. And, you know, there's people in the stands and they're waving American flags and they're saying, "Go USA." They don't know me from Adam. They just know I'm from the United States.
And, you got that flag on. Yep.
Yeah. And it was just an amazing experience. And unfortunately, that was my Olympic experience because I didn't do so well. There's a story behind that, but it was a wonderful experience. It ended up being my only chance to make a team. I did try for the 08 team, but because of consecutive injuries year after year, I wasn't able to perform very well to make the 08 team. So, but that led me into what I do now professionally, which you know, is everything happens for a reason, right? But amazing. It was great. I have no regrets. In my post-collegiate career, it was a wonderful time, met wonderful people. And to be honest, you know, it's all about who brings you up, you know, who makes you better. And, it's never just one person. It's a lot of people, it's community. And Utah State, had I not had the support system there, you know, I would have never been where I've been. And you know, Cache Valley, the Aggies, Utah State was, you know, that was my foundation. So
it's a special place. Yeah. Gotta love Utah State. So after, you kind of alluded to this a little bit, but after, you got done, called it quits as far as your athletic career, you decided to stay somewhat in that field and now you're a chiropractor, correct?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. So, I got back off my religious mission in 97. Thought I could pick right up where I left off and, I hurt my back and Dale Mildenberger was there at the time. So, and the athletic trainer, you know, Dale's a Hall of Fame member.
I don't know Dale, but the name does ring a bell.
Yeah, Dale Mildenberger. So Dale's was like at Utah State for like 40 years, right? And Dale was old school, salty old athletic trainer, but a great man. And he cared about his athletes. And I worked with him through this back injury, but I was just never getting better. And mm-hmm. It was about 4 months into it, and I was just frustrated. I couldn't train. I could hardly sit through class. And I was just in pain. And I went religiously to physical therapy. I did, you know, they gave me opioid drugs. They did MRIs and scans. And I did ice and stem till I was sick out of my mind. And I wasn't getting any better. And so I went to his office. I'm like, "Dale, is there anything else we can do, please?" And I said, "Well, what can you send me to a chiropractor?" And I had never had any experience with chiropractic. And I just knew they did backs or something like that. And he was like, "Well, okay, fine." And he sent me to Reed McGregor. Reed McGregor was a chiropractor out in North Logan. He's since mm-hmm. retired, but he was actually an accomplished track and field man himself. But went to him and saw him and felt a change and I felt results and I was like, "Oh my gosh, this is amazing. Like, I wish I would have been doing this a long time ago." And that sparked my interest. And this was even before I graduated. So even through my military career, I always had that in the back of my mind. And so, so Dale was a big part of that. Had he not done that, it would have been, you know, I don't know what would have happened, but anyway, in 08, after the Olympic trials, I had to take a few more classes up at U of O to fulfill my requirements. And then I just basically, I dropped track right after the trials. I mean, I walked out of the ring, I turned around, I bent over, kissed the ring, said goodbye. I couldn't stop crying because it was just, just emotional, and just letting go of that whole life I'd had previous. And I went right in, and I went up to school in Portland, Oregon, and graduated. And then I've been in practice since then. I've been practicing mainly here in Kaysville, and we have another office in Draper. I work with a gentleman by the name of Craig Buehler. Craig Buehler is he was the jazz chiropractor for 20 years. And he's a guru of a technique called it's a muscle technique. I'll just keep it short. And so anyway, we have kind of a sports medicine clinic going on here, and we still have elite athletes from really all over the world that come to see us. I mean, to this day, John Stockton walks in, and when he's in town, and I can say that because he's advertised for our clinic before. So, we have other people that we don't talk about, that come in because we get referrals, word of mouth. And, so it's kind of fun. I get to be involved in that elite athlete world still, from a sports medicine side. And I've been able to do that. And I've been able to actually stay involved with track and field. So I am, I was actually last year chosen to be one of the two chiropractors on the 2020 Olympic team for USA track and field. And so obviously that got kicked back a year. So I'll still do that next year. But so I've been able to be involved in that world and use my skills that I have now to try to help these kids, you know, just attain their dreams, do their best. And it's just been one of my missions to keep people from getting injured and to keep accelerate their healing. So I've just loved my career so far. Feel like I've been successful in that aspect, and things are going really good.
Well, you said everything happens for a reason, and that seems like it all came full circle. And that's pretty awesome that you still get to work in that field and still get to have a little bit of a part of that. James, you know, I appreciate you taking some time to come on and chat. I think that your story is just so cool, going from, you know, little old Utah, sticking around at Utah State, 9-time All-American, making a run to the Olympics, and then being able to do what you're doing now. So, you know, I appreciate you coming on and sharing that with us.
No problem, Jaden. My pleasure. Thanks for asking me.
Yeah, is there anything you want to leave with Utah State fans?
Yeah, go Aggies.
Go Aggies. All right. Hey, we'll talk to you soon, James. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
This has been Aggies All the Way, the official podcast of Utah State Athletics, presented by Guild Mortgage. Guild Mortgage Company and the Karen Nielsen team is experienced and knowledgeable with all types of loan products and can tailor the perfect loan for you. Karen and the team would love to meet you and help you own what matters. NMLS number 3274, Equal Housing Lender. The proceeding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Aggie Sports Network.